Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for August 23rd, 2019. We're beginning the book of Ephesians, so we'll look at the first portion of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is writing from prison, most likely in Caesarea. That makes the most sense given the events that we know of his ministry and the topics that he talks about. So he is here in Caesarea after having spent 2 years in Ephesus during that most recent third missionary journey. And then he had, gotten around to Corinth for a brief visit. But then he had collected the famine offering, returned to Jerusalem, and brought the offering to the church there at Jerusalem. While he's at Jerusalem, he goes up to the temple for worship, and while he's there, he's accused of starting riots. He's accused of bringing a Gentile or an uncircumcised man into the Jews-only area, the Jewish-only area, and he's taken into Roman custody. The Romans had a fortress right at the corner of the Temple Mount there, the Fortress Antonia, and it was a relatively recent addition, maybe only 20 or 30 years before Christ. I'd have to look that up. But he's taken into Roman custody there. There's a plot against his life. He is transferred in Roman custody up to Caesarea. He stood trial before Felix. And then Felix, calls him in looking for a bribe. And then Felix lets him languish in prison until Festus takes over. And during that 2 years of sitting in prison for no reason, Paul could have really gotten down in the dumps, and he could have wondered, why am I here? What's going on? But instead, he takes that time to write. He writes to the Ephesians, and he writes to the Colossians, which is a very similar letter to Ephesians. They're almost like twins. They're thought of as sister letters, and they're written to the same general area. Ephesus is down by the shore, at least at that time, on the western edge of modern-day Turkey, and then Colossae is a little bit further inland. And during this time, he also writes to the Philippians up in Macedonia, and possibly also writes to a letter to Philemon about his runaway slave, Onesimus. The letter to Philemon might also have taken place from Rome, because after 2 years in prison there in Caesarea, he appeals to Caesar when he goes on trial before Festus, and he could have been released, but he's transferred to Rome. And during that trip to Rome, he is in a storm, there's a shipwreck, they land ashore on Malta, and eventually get to Rome. And during that first Roman imprisonment, which we see recounted for us all the way through the end of the book of Acts, Paul is there under house arrest, and it's probable that Paul is released after that. He might get to Spain. We do know that he goes back to the Aegean Sea, to the area of western modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, Macedonia, Greece, that area. And when he's in that area again, the Jewish leaders kind of catch up with him and accuse him of stirring up trouble and rioting. And then he's taken to prison a second time in Rome. This would be the mid to late 60s, probably around 66 or 67, during the reign of Nero. And while he is in Rome for that second imprisonment, he spends some time in prison there. He writes 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and then he's executed. So all that is coming in the next 5 to 6 years, maybe even 7 years, after he writes Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians and Philemon, from here in Caesarea, modern day like Jordan. It's the area on the coast just north of Palestine. And so we begin this book of Ephesians, and when we're looking at Ephesians, it would be easy enough for Paul to have a negative outlook. But look at what he does, especially in the first chapter here, the first few verses, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, who are believers in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He did this when he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. He did this in accordance with the good purpose of his will and for the praise of his glorious grace, which he has graciously given us in the one he loves. In him we also have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in keeping with the riches of his grace which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will in keeping with his good purpose, which he planned in Christ. This was to be carried out when the time had fully come, in order to bring all things together in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in keeping with the purpose of his will. He did this so that his glory would be praised as a result of us, who were the first to hope in Christ. In him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in him, when you also believed, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own possession, so that his glory would be praised. And we're just going to pause there. That takes us through verse 14. And a couple of things that we really note here. As Paul begins this letter to his friends, his loved ones, his fellow Christians, his church there at Ephesus, he begins with the broadest scope, and he zooms out the most so that you can talk about God's grace in the largest strokes, I suppose. And the refrain that keeps coming up in this section is talking about in Him, in Christ. He says it like 16 times in these 12 verses of introduction in this little section here from verses 3 through 14. He refers to being in Christ or in Him 16 times. And when he talks about the grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus, he talks primarily about your predestination, that you have been predestined. And that really has a sharp connection to writing from prison, I suppose, because the idea that God has predestined you, that he has chosen you in Christ to be his own, and that he made this choice even before the beginning of time, and he made this choice purely out of his grace, not in view of the fact that you would one day be Christian, because that gets it backwards. No, you are a Christian because God predestined you. God chose you to be his own, and then in time, God bought you, or God brought the word of God to you, and worked through word and sacrament to give you faith. And the Holy Spirit created that faith. And so when you talk about predestination, it's a teaching of comfort for believers. Two elements to that. First of all, a teaching of comfort. This is a statement of law, of gospel. It's a teaching of comfort that you can know that at every point in your life, your Lord is holding on to you. And that at every circumstance of your life, even, you know, if you're sitting next to the prison, next to Paul there in the prison of Caesarea, in every circumstance of your life, you can know that your God still holds on to you and that he will turn that pain and that sorrow into a blessing for you. He doesn't tell us exactly how all the time, and we don't always even see it, but we have the promise of God, and the promise of God is certainly sufficient to know that he will turn it into a blessing for us, even if that blessing is just teaching us a little bit of patience and teaching us to trust his word when it goes against everything that we see and perceive and feel, even in our hearts. And so he says, you know, the reason that God did all this, in accordance with the purpose of his will and for the praise of his glorious grace. It's okay for God to seek his own glory because he's God. That's not being self-centered. That's not being prideful. And even if it were, God is allowed to do that because pride is like this overwhelming interest in oneself, in one's own actions, and putting self ahead of others. And God deserves all that. God has every right to be proud, and we have every right to be proud about our God. Because he owns everything, he deserves all praise and glory, and he's the one who accomplishes anything and everything of good, of spiritual good and of even physical good in this world. And so God does this to demonstrate his goodness and his graciousness in choosing choosing you to be his own, to demonstrate his love and his goodness so that all people would be able to say, wow, look at God's goodness here, where he has demonstrated by making that person his own, where he reassures your heart today that you are his own, no matter the circumstance. And Paul talks about that a little bit more. We'll have to look at this opening section of Ephesians again when we get to our Bible reading on Monday morning as well. But as we conclude today, the one thing to keep in mind, is that your Lord has chosen you in Christ, even before the creation of the world, and that in time he brought you to faith through his word and sacrament, and he promises to hold on to you, and he promises to use every single pain, sorrow, joy, up and down of your life for your eternal good. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee, 9 a.m. And you could also tune in at YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. And if you enjoy this podcast or if you've found some benefit in it, feel free, please hit that subscribe button in your podcast app. Scroll through our backlog. We've got just about 370 episodes in now. And hit that share button to share it with a friend. God bless your day.